Welcome, welcome, faithful listeners, to Pocket Toyed, the internet's only audiophile that exists. We belong in a museum. So, this episode is coming to you with extra special lots amounts of hard work, because this is the third time we're recording it, but that's the only time we'll try to make mention of it. We'll try to not complain about it.
Is this the first time we've recorded an episode three times?
I believe so.
It's the we've recorded one. I've recorded a couple twice.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've done one three times.
But that just means that it's going to be all that much better.
Yes. It'll be super, super polished, and we already have our jokes pre-rehearsed.
I guess. I don't even remember.
I don't remember anything.
Yeah. But and I do know that Jordan is super excited to tell you about this One Piece game for the third time.
Yes. And also, we were so excited to get, you know, an early copy of Bravely Default from Nintendo, so we could have our review out early, and Bravely Default came out a month ago. So,
man,
there's that.
Wow. There goes our chances of Yoshi's Island.
Well, they might see our review and, you know, whatever. Yeah. Who knows? If Yoshi's Island's good enough, I'll probably buy it myself, but
yeah,
I probably won't.
I got some tax return money kicking around. Maybe I'll pick it up.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, so we're going to jump into our games of the week. We're going to try to keep this pretty short.
Yes.
Other than the obvious ones that we're reviewing, I have been addicted to Dota 2 recently. I blame Brett mostly for that. He is I'm Brett Lol on Twitter. And so I'm kind of addicted to that. Then there's my usual Spelunky runs.
Are you still playing Dota 2 right now?
Like, am I playing while we're recording?
No. I just mean, like,
because yeah, I'm still playing.
I made these notes a while.
More often than not, I play at least one match of Dota a day.
Oh, wow. That sounds like work. I don't want to know.
It's not work. It's fun.
Oh, okay.
Then Link Between Worlds, which I actually haven't played that in a little while. Been too busy with Bravely Default.
So good.
I also picked up Wolf Among Us a while back, so I've played through those first two episodes, and they're great. Got Octodad Dadliest Catch. Been playing that. Love that game.
I'm still laughing, and for the third for the third time now, that the subtitle is Dadliest Catch.
Yes. Also, Steel Diver Submarine Wars.
Oh, F that.
I'll talk about that more in depth next episode.
Yeah.
Other than that, not a lot.
Other than that, Titanfall?
Oh, Titanfall. Don't remind me. That comes out soon.
I will not be buying it at launch. Maybe someday.
I'm so excited. I almost bought the South Park RPG, but I'm going to wait for a price drop, I think, because I have too many things to play.
Yeah, I'm just not... the South Park RPG, no thanks. I'm holding off on a lot of things, because... money, but mostly just because I have so many things to play already.
Yeah. Speaking of so many things to play already, I think I'm going to pick up some stuff on the Sony sale when we get done. I think I'm going to pick up the Lumines game for Vita. I forgot what it was called.
Did you get Dragon's Crown?
And I think I'm going to buy Dragon's Crown.
Yes, buy it. I hope the sale hasn't ended yet.
I doubt it. But I can't decide if I should get it on PS3 or Vita. I mean, either way, we can play together. But I would like to be able to play with my roommate. I don't know.
Well, if you get it on the PS3, I mean, we can still play online together, and then your roommate can play at the same time. We could all three play.
I know, but it would look prettier on the Vita.
It does look pretty on the Vita.
And it sounds like the controls are a little bit better.
Yeah, and I don't know, it just... portable games, you know, but I also know you, and you don't really finish stuff, so who knows.
Isn't Dragon's Crown not very long?
It's like, I think it's like 20 hours. I mean, I know it's a beat-em-up, but I mean, it's basically an RPG as opposed to a beat-em-up from what I've played.
I'm also, like, constantly struggling for space on my Vita, and I recently put a terabyte hard drive in my PS3, so...
Yeah, I know you put a terabyte hard drive in your PS3.
So maybe I'll do that.
But, I mean, it's only like a gig and a half. I think I deleted something to make room for it, so...
I'll probably have to delete something for Lumines. Anyways, let's get into your games of the week.
Okay. So I've been playing Bravely Default, obviously. We'll talk about that later. I've been playing Inazuma 11. I bought that when it got announced during the Nintendo Direct. I'm not ready to review that yet. I'll save it for the next episode. I've been so into Bravely Default, I just haven't had much time for it. But it's good. I'll say that it's good. I really enjoy it so far. And it's a soccer RPG. Fun stuff. Been playing Persona 3 Portable and Persona 3 FES. I couldn't decide between them. Story short, I just bought both. I got a good deal on FES, which was cool. So didn't have to worry about spending a bunch of money on that. And I got it. I played some Flappy Bird when that was going on. Man, that feels like ages ago. When a lot of stuff was going on. I've been playing Final Fantasy IX on my Vita. I picked it up during that Final Fantasy sale that was going on at one point, and really been digging that, having fun with it, because, you know, it's rad, and it's one of my favorite games ever. And it's on my Vita now, which was one of my, like, dreams for my whole life. Final Fantasy Tactics, been playing a bunch of that. I finally figured out how to play it, because when I was a kid, I didn't get it, but now I do, and I've been playing it, and it's fun. Dissidia Final Fantasy, after playing that some more, it may not be for me. I don't know. It's really complicated, and I can't quite figure out how to play, and it's really kind of just convoluted. I don't know. I mean, it's okay, I guess.
I don't know a lot about that game. Can you kind of explain how it plays, just briefly?
I mean, it's a Final Fantasy fighting game, but it's in 3D. I don't know. How do I explain this? I mean, it's like one-on-one fighting, but it has, it's not like, you know, Street Fighter, maybe a bit more of a Smash Brothers kind of feel to it. Basically, you have one attack button that takes down the enemy's, like, shields. Once those are down, you have another attack button that actually does health point damage, and you link together, like, combos, and you counterattack, and build up meters, and there's a story mode with equipment, and there's something weird, I don't know, and a bunch of Final Fantasy characters. I don't know. It may not be for me. It's fun, but, yeah, I don't know. I kind of regret buying it, but maybe I'll play it some more and I'll dig it later on. Who knows? But anyway, been playing those. I'll probably talk a lot more about it the next time we record, but I've also bought Dragon's Crown very recently, and that game is the best ever. The best thing. Just the best. It's my favorite of all time, forever. It's because if you ever heard of King of Dragons, you and I have played it together. I showed it to you, and you're like, "What the crap is this game?"
That game was so fun.
It's just some fantasy arcade beat 'em up made by Capcom. It was kind of the precursor to the Dungeons and Dragons arcade games. But I actually like King of Dragons a lot better. It's like probably it's one of my favorite beat 'em ups. And I thought Dragon's Crown was going to be more along the lines of the D&D arcade games, but it's actually pretty much a direct sequel to King of Dragons. It's almost even in the name. Dragon's Crown, King of Dragons. Like, it's the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's totally a follow-up to King of Dragons. A lot of the attack animations are similar. There's a lot of the similar ideas. Just some really cool stuff. It's so much fun to play. It's pretty much an RPG. I mean, the gameplay, yeah, it's like a beat-em-up, but you get equipment, and you go on quests, and you revisit areas, and do all kinds of stuff. Your, like, weapons and shields, like, show up on you, which is awesome. It's the most beautiful thing ever made by a human. I swear. Wow, it's so gorgeous. Yeah, I'm playing that. I also got the Warriors on my Vita. That's all right.
Whoa, you can get that on your Vita?
Yeah. I was arguing with you about that. Remember, I couldn't decide whether to buy it. It was $3 on sale, and I was like,
"Should
I get it on my Vita or it was a PSP version?"
Oh, okay.
But I mean,
that's where the confusion
came.
It's
like a direct port of the PS2 game. Like, it looks just like the PS2 game. I was like, "Should I get it or the PS2 game?" And then I got it because it's $3. So That's pretty good. I like the movie a lot.
I love the movie.
Yeah, me too. My dad said when that movie came out in theaters, because he was like a teenager, he loved that movie when he was a teenager, which it was like really underrated. It's a kind of a cult classic now, but not that well known. But he said there were like shootings all over the country at like theaters because gangs would go see it and like see other gangs there.
And there'd be, wow.
Like, there'd be like a shooting in the theater.
That's crazy. I never heard about that.
Well, like the 70s, man, like New York in the 70s was kind of how it was portrayed in that movie. I mean, not completely, but it was so just awful and terrible and so many gangs and all that crap. So before they cleaned it up. Anyway. But yeah, been playing a lot of stuff. Some other things, but, you know, whatever. Talk about them more later. All right, let's go to reviews. Let's blaze through this.
Okay. All right, so our first review today is a game from Monkey Paw Games. They've got a bunch of import Japanese games for the PlayStation on PSN now. Most of them are cross-buy, so you can get the Vita and PS3 version. And most of them are $5.99, except for Tomba 2, which we'll be reviewing next time. I don't remember. I think that one's like $10, but we'll tell you for sure next time. So the first one is Double Dragon. And as it sounds, it is related to the beat-em-up series, except it is a fighter based on the Double Dragon movie.
Still my favorite thing.
Yeah. It's $6, and I mean, it's not a terrible fighter. Not an amazing one. I felt like it played a little slow, but maybe that's the speed that they mostly played at back then. I'm not 100% sure. I never really got into fighters until like the early mid-thousands. So, I mean, basically you go in as different Street Fighter characters. I mean, it's not Street Fighter, Double Dragon characters. And you punch and kick and use special moves against other Double Dragon characters. And as with a lot of these import games from Monkey Paw Games, they are in Japanese, but you don't really need Japanese to know Japanese to figure out what's going on. They're pretty straightforward. And if you do want a translation, you can go to their website, Monkey Paw Games website, and they have some utilities there for you. So Double Dragon is $6 on PSN, cross-buy. I say if you like fighters, go ahead and buy it. If you're not so into fighters, then probably just give it a try. But at $6, if you're into fighters, I mean, $6. Can't really go wrong.
Yeah, so Double Dragon. Yes, you just reviewed that. That's what just now happened. Nothing happened in between.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Okay, so our next game that we're going to review is also part of Monkey Paw Games' Retro Rush promotion. They were kind enough to send us three games. One of them was Double Dragon. One of them was called The Best Name Ever Conceived by a Man. And the name of that game is Lucifer Ring. Lucifer Ring, just like Double Dragon, is an import game, so it's in Japanese. But really the only part of it that I could tell was in Japanese were the voiceovers in between different stages. There's like a narrator who tells the story in Japanese. So if you can like understand, if you can like hear Japanese and understand it, like cool, you'll be able to know the story. But this game is pretty awesome/dumb, so you don't really need to know the story. it's not really something, you know, that you're here for. Lucifer Ring is a beat-em-up in, like, a fantasy setting. It's one of those, like, late 90s 3D games, like, clunky 3D games. You know, what comes to my mind when I think late 90s clunky 3D is, like, Jurassic Park Trespasser and, I don't know, like, just those kind of early PlayStation games that were just, you know, like, you know, you look at the graphics on Final Fantasy VII, you're just like, oh, those are so charming and terrible.
This game looks better than Final Fantasy VII, but it's still, you know, it's just one of those clunky 90s 3D games. But it kind of plays like a 16-bit game, not really like a PlayStation game. It's at that weird in-between space, which makes me think it was probably like an early PlayStation game. But Lucifer Ring, like I said, it's a beat-em-up in a fantasy setting. It's really fun. I liked it a lot. It's extremely short. I beat it, I think, like 3 times, and I probably only played it for maybe like, I don't know, maybe 3 hours or so. I mean, not that long, 3 or 4 hours, and I beat it, like I said, 3 or 4 times. So, but most beat-em-ups are pretty short. I believe there's different difficulty settings, so you can run through it on different difficulties. There's also branching paths in the stages. So, you know, it's not going to be the same game each time you play. You can, you know, there's some options there. This game has, like, long been, like, a kind of a collector's item an import game that a lot of collectors like to buy and recommend an import. And so it's awesome that it's now available for only $6 on the PSN. It has some janky controls a little bit. Controls are a little awkward sometimes, but got the job done. I feel like this is a great game to own on your Vita if you're thinking about buying this. I mean, it's cross-buy, so you'll be able to get it on, you know, your PS3 as well. But I think it's a great game to play on your Vita because it has really good replay value. It's really short. And, you know, it's just a great game to whip out on the bus and play for a little while. So I really enjoyed Lucifer Ring.
It's probably the best thing to whip out on the bus. Of all the things you could whip out on the bus, that game is probably should be the number one thing you whip out while on the bus.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for that. But anyway, yeah, Lucifer Ring, great game. I like it a lot. It does have, like I said, it is a clunky late 90s game with some janky controls. You need to know that going in. But it's a fun beat-em-up with a goofy late 90s anime setting, some like metal soundtrack. I mean, the name of the game is Lucifer Ring. Like, this game's metal as heck. And, you know, has some cool enemies, fun. It has like a cool weapon upgrades and stuff. Anyway, you can listen to this and you probably know whether you want this game or not. I would say if you hear late 90s clunky 3D game with some, you know, kind of goofy controls and you're like, oh, it doesn't sound like it's for me, I'd say try it. You might still enjoy it. If you're listening to this and you're like, okay, like the name Lucifer Ring sounds like the best game ever, and you know, then you should probably buy this game because I really had a lot of fun with it despite the length. There's a lot of games I've spent more than $6 on though and played for less time, so I mean, I'd probably play this game again. One thing I'm not sure of, because you know, I reviewed this on the PS Vita. That's what we're a portable games podcast. I'm not sure if there is co-op or not, which is kind of, you know, something I think that most beat-em-ups should have, but I'm not sure if there is or not. So there might be, there might not be. Look it up. I don't know. So, but like I said, totally accessible to people, even if you don't speak Japanese. You know, pretty much all the menus are in English, and all the power-ups and all that stuff are all written out in English, so no big deal. But yeah, check it out. The last game that we have from Monkey Paw Games Retro Rush promotional series for this episode, we'll review the other ones for the next episode, but for this episode, the last one we have is The Fireman 2, which is such a great name for a video game. Now, I actually played The Fireman 1 a lot when I was a kid, which is surprising for someone in the U.S. because it never came out here. It only came out in Japan and in Europe, but I didn't realize it didn't come out in the U.S. because when I was a kid, I only played Super Nintendo games on emulators because, you know, I was a kid in the early 2000s. I thought that was cool. So I used to play Fireman 1 all the time. I really loved that game as a kid. And so when I saw Fireman 2 was coming out and that it looked pretty much like the same thing, I was really excited to check this out. If you never played The Fireman 1, if you don't know what this is at all, I'm guessing you haven't. The Fireman, it's kind of, it's hard to explain in you know, on a podcast, but it's kind of an action RPG shooter thing where you play as a fireman fighting fire. You shoot the water and you save the day from all the fire that is burning all the things.
How many Balrogs do you fight?
So many Balrogs. Good. No. You do fight robots, though, that are on fire, and so their systems have gone haywire, and you're like, oh, I gotta shoot the robot with my fire hose. And blast it. You throw water grenades. and it blows up the fire. I mean, this, imagine, like, okay, it's kind of, there's some Zelda elements here, too. Imagine you're, like, playing an action RPG, okay, where you have a gun instead of a sword, but your gun is actually a fire hose, and you're lobbing, like, water grenades, and you have a little buddy that runs around with you hacking fire with his magical water axe, I guess. Somehow hacking fire with an axe works. But, yeah, you fight the fires. Levels are pretty linear. There's not really any text in the game as far as, like, in-game stuff goes, so you don't have to know how to read to read Japanese or anything to play it. If you want to understand the story, which, you know, whatever, it has some good voice acting. It's completely voiced, and it's all in Japanese, though, so you need to know how to play, or how to, you know, understand Japanese. But if you listen to, if you watch a lot of anime, you'll probably pick up on some stuff here and there like I did, figure out what's going on. But like I said, the game kind of plays out in stages as opposed to, like, you know, exploration-based gameplay or anything. So it's linear. You don't really have to worry about finding your way. But I love Fireman 2. It's really fun. It's a great little unique game. It's hard to explain because it's really creative and original idea, and I think you'd have a lot of fun with it. I like how all the enemies are just different forms of fire. Some of them are, like, fireballs flying at you. Some of them are, you know, fire that darts back and forth on the floor. It's awesome. It's a fun game. It's also completely co-op. So if you buy it for your PS3, you can play with a buddy, and I would recommend that because I used to play the Super Nintendo game co-op all the time and had a blast with it. So I'm going to go ahead and give Fireman 2 a buy it. I think this is an awesome game. And, you know, you can decide whether or not you want it based on, you know, some people don't dig playing games that are only in Japanese or whatever. But I really like the Fireman 2. I think that it's one of the best games in the Monkey Paw Games Retro Rush collection. I think you should check it out. So, there you go.
Well, neat.
Yep.
Yeah, I would like to go back and play that first one on Super Nintendo.
Sounds, yeah, I mean, they're both really similar. So, I mean, I check them out. Obviously, I don't condone piracy, especially when, you know, this one is actually out and making money for someone. But yeah, just check it out either way. If you can pick up a copy of the Super Nintendo game, like a European copy, it'll be in English, and you can check that out. But either way, this one's awesome, and you should buy it. Buy it with your monies that you have. If you don't have any monies, you should still buy it, because you're irresponsible.
Yeah, I'm good at being irresponsible with money.
Yep. All right, Addison, what else do you got for us?
I got Dust Force. You ever play Dust Force?
No.
Oh, why?
Because I just don't own it. I just don't have it. That's... Someday I'd like to get it.
Dust Force is
maybe
great.
I'll get it. Should I get it on my PS Vita, Addison?
Yeah, you should. Because it's beautiful.
There's our review.
Buy it. I'm done. What else do you got?
No, but really, why should I buy it, Addison?
Okay. Well, Dust Force is really similar to games like M+ and Super Meat Boy, where it's like a puzzle platformer, and it has an amazing soundtrack by Lifeformed. The game is gorgeous. Everything about it is great. So you play as like one of four different janitors, and you go through with your broom, and you are trying to get to the end of the stage while also cleaning it up as much as you possibly can. So, you know, you have a score based on how much of the stage you cleaned and how fast you got to the end of the stage, and, you know, just traditional things like that. The PC version has a level editor, and this version of the game actually does not have a level editor, unfortunately. But the PlayStation and Xbox version, Xbox One, I don't think is out yet. I know it wasn't at the time that we originally recorded this, and I don't think it's out yet. I could be wrong, but
you can figure it out for yourself.
Yeah,
this is an Xbox pod, Xbox cast.
They actually come with 150 of the user-generated levels from the PC level creator, and these are like the levels that were voted as the best levels by players. So,
and really, like, how many like player created levels are you going to play anyway? So it's
I mean, it would have been kind of fun to make your own levels on the game on your Vita, but I mean, it's not that big a deal. So while it would be nice to have had that, at least they included like all of these extra levels, which is pretty cool. Yeah. And also the game has some multiplayer modes, which are really fun. You have things like Survival and King of the Hill, and sometimes they pit you against each other in a way that's kind of interesting, where some players are cleaning up the stage while some are actually doing the opposite and spreading more garbage everywhere.
That just sounds like super fun to me. I don't know why. I think that's really cool. Also, this is like an action game where you play as a janitor. I just want to point that out.
Yeah. The thing that surprised me the most about the game, because I hadn't played it yet, even though I had wanted to, is just how gorgeous it is, both audibly and visually. Mm-hmm. Like, everything about this game is gorgeous, from the music to the visuals.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've seen, like, trailer footage and stuff, and it looks really cool. And I bet on the Vita screen, too, it looks awesome.
Yeah, I should also mention that the game is $10, and it is totally worth every penny.
Oh, it's. Did you mention that it's not cross-buy, though?
It is not cross-buy, unfortunately, but it's still worth it.
Yeah. I can't decide if I want to get it on my Vita or my PC, though. I'd really like to know if the Vita had multiplayer, but then again, I'm never going to play it multiplayer with anyone. I'm always like worried if my portable games are going to have multiplayer, and then I don't play them multiplayer, so I'm like, what does it matter? All right, Addison, is that all of your reviews?
Yes.
All right, cool. I'm going to blaze through mine. Got to get through some of these fast. Okay.
Yeah, blaze it.
420, blaze it. Okay. I have some other reviews for you now. Okay. Here they are. You ready?
Tell me about game.
Okay, here's game. One game I have to review is called Hoplite. And Hoplite is a roguelike for the iOS and Android. It is $2. It's $2. Hoplite was originally created for the 7-day roguelike game jam, indie game jam. But the creator liked the concept he came up with so much, he decided to turn it into a full game. And I'm really glad that he did. As I play this game more and more, I like it more and more. It was a little off-putting at first because it's very, very, very difficult. But it's a really strategic experience as opposed to a lot of other roguelikes, which turn into a little bit more of a grind fest. This game has more of a tactical feel to it. So it has hexagonal movement. You probably know what that means. It's really weird because, like I said, it has more of a strategic feel to it. You can see the entire floor that you're on at once. So as opposed to exploring and unlocking doors, getting treasure chests, fighting one enemy at a time, you kind of have to manage all the enemies on the screen at once. Because archers, for instance, when you get into their line of sight, they'll immediately fire an arrow and hit you. Or mages, if you get in their line of sight, they'll blast fire at you. There's enemies that'll throw bombs at you that'll explode in one turn. So you have to find a way to get away from that bomb, but also to dodge an arrow at the same time and dodge the melee enemy that's coming up to sword you in the gut. And so it's really cool how you have to manage these situations to progress through each floor. And you don't have very much health. You really have, like, it's like kind of like Zelda hearts, like 4 or 5 hearts. You can get more on each floor, or you can buy different ability upgrades. But the game's really about just managing your situations and controlling the battlefield in the best way possible. And I really love this game. I think if you like roguelikes, if you like strategic gameplay, you really should check out Hoplite. That's Hoplite. On the iOS and Android. It's $2, so I would say buy it for sure. Another review I have is for a game called Quiz Up on the iOS store, and this actually came out in November for the iPhone, but it came out, I think it was supposed to come out in February for the Android. I don't know if it did or not, but that's what I heard last time I checked. So Quiz Up is free. It's a quiz game. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I'll say that it has a gorgeous presentation, really cool music. It's a really fun trivia game where you play online with other people. You can play live with using matchmaking, or you can play with your Facebook friends, kind of where one of you will play and then the other person plays against their time and sort of a live. It shows how you answered all the questions and how quickly to them, like in real time. So it's kind of playing, it's kind of like playing against each other in real time, which is really cool. It has lots of topics. My favorite topic is Nintendo games. I still have only lost one match. And, like, that makes me feel awful because I lose in the Bible one all the time. So I officially know more about Nintendo games than what I teach for my job.
You should just start teaching about Nintendo games.
Yes, the gospel of Miyamoto. But it's QuizUp's really fun. I really enjoy it. It's free. I can't find any in-app purchases or anything, as far as I can tell. It's just a great, awesome, fun, free quiz game, and you should definitely download it if you have a smartphone, iOS or Android, and play it. And play me, and I'll destroy you at Pokemon Trivia. Oh, I also like how there's lots of different topics. There's tons of stuff, TV shows, books, all kinds of junk. So, really good. Oh, I also wanted to mention, because some people are turned off by it when they hear quiz game, because they think, oh, people can just cheat online. Well, actually, the way the game works is each time it asks you a question, there's a timer, and you only have 10 seconds to answer. And the faster you can answer it, the more points you'll get for that question, and each round only consists of about 8 questions. So no one can cheat. Look stuff up online. It is really based on, you know, what you know. And so check it out. Really good game. I really had fun with that. There's a new game out from the creators of Punch Quest, which Addison is not going to like, but I like it a lot. And the game is called
Flappy Cthulhu.
Yes, Flapthulu. And Flapthulu is just a Flappy Bird clone where you play as Cthulhu. But the difference is that it has really awesome animation, some cool music, extremely nice pixel art as opposed to Flappy Bird where it was not that great. I mean, it wasn't horrible, but this game has some great pixel art. It has this weird kind of procedurally generated world where each time you pass a goal, the universe grows behind you and the music gets more and more like intense. I don't know. I had fun with it. It's free. You can get it on your PC or on your iPhone. So if you like Flappy Bird, maybe check out Flapthulu. I'd say try it, but I like it. So whatever. Oh gosh. Here it is. Here we go, Addison.
Yeah.
One more time.
Here we go. Hopefully this is the last time.
Yeah, I really hope so, too. Okay, so the next game that I have to review is a little game called One Piece Romance Dawn. So Namco Bandai was kind enough to send us a review copy of One Piece Romance Dawn. However, I have to right off the bat say that I did not enjoy this game. I'm a gigantic fan of One Piece, like a huge fan of One Piece. It's been my favorite comic ever since I was in junior high and my friend from Japan introduced me to it. Wasn't even out in the United States yet. I love One Piece so much. I've been reading it, I've been reading it since 2002 or 3. So yeah, about 10 years now, 11 years, 12 years. And I love One Piece. And I also love RPGs. And if you listen to this podcast, you know that. Like, I love RPGs. And so this is a One Piece RPG you'd think it would be for me. But it is not. It is not a game that I want to play. It is not something... It is a disgrace to One Piece and RPGs, and I'm about to tell you why. So you were there when I actually started this game up for the first time.
Yep,
and started
unfortunately.
Playing. I was hanging out with you, which means it's been a month since we hung out. What's up with that? But anyway, so I booted it up. And what happened, Addison?
Just the longest, most boring, nonsensical cutscene.
Yep. So, like, this game, seriously, retells the story of One Piece, like, totally and completely, using talking heads that don't change expression, except for the main characters, and even then, not very often, and little text bubbles. But what's crazy is they basically use every line of dialogue from the show. And so literally when you start the game, if you're reading all the dialogue, you will be reading talking heads, like little squares with a face in it, talking to each other for the first like 20 minutes of the game. Like it was like, yeah, 20, 15 minutes until I got to play the game.
At least.
And man, that was infuriating. And the text was slow. I set it on like auto progression. And then we got in my car, drove you across town to your car, And like then I like parked to play it, and it still wasn't done yet. But fortunately, I discovered that you can completely skip the cutscenes. But you know, in an RPG, you kind of play for the story, so that's kind of sucky. But you can press start to skip through those cutscenes completely, though, if you want to. Unfortunately, what lies beyond that is not that great either. This game's actually a port of a PSP game that never came out to the United States. And it has, while it has like some nice graphics, like some pretty decent 3D models and stuff whenever you're actually playing, there's no stereoscopic 3D in the game whatsoever, which is kind of ridiculous in my opinion. The gameplay itself is not that fun. The battle system is okay. It's more of a beat-em-up system where you can hammer on a button and smack some dudes around, and each hit that you do kind of builds up these technique points you have. And then you can use those points after you've accumulated a certain amount to unleash some stronger attacks, like Gomu Gomu no Pistol, or, you know, whatever, you know, character you're using.
What? Do they say Gomu Gomu?
No, it's all that is something that's nice. All the voice acting is in Japanese. It's the original cast. So, I mean, the voice acting is solid, and it's good. But the problem is that it's just not a great game. Not fun to play at all. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to say is that the game does contain an extra 30 minutes of animated cutscenes from the team that makes the anime. So that's kind of cool if you're into that, but you can also just watch those on YouTube. It lacks everything that makes the show, or not the show, the comic and the show, great. It lacks everything that makes One Piece great. One Piece is all about adventure and excitement and fun characters and amazing situations and, you know, like these crazy twists and discovery, you know, and fun. And this game lacks all of those things. It's boring. It's a slog to get through. I fell asleep while I was playing it on the toilet, which, you know, I've already told that story to Addison twice now, so I'm not going to put him through that again, but I fell asleep while I was playing it on the toilet. Never happened to me, you know, in my life, and I'm just not somebody that usually happens to, especially in, like, kind of an action RPG. I mean, you explore these dungeons, and they kind of remind me of Persona dungeons. I don't know if they were randomly generated or not. I didn't play the game for the entire thing. I played it long enough to know what I was doing, and to know what the quality I was looking at, but, man, it... These dungeons are so boring, and the movement, your running speed is so slow, and the camera movement is so slow, and you just get into these battles, and you kind of play them out, and you're like, okay, this battle is kind of fun, but why do I care? Like, why am I playing this when I could be playing anything else? Some of the equipment you get shows up on you, some of it doesn't. Man, it just... This game just feels lazy. It feels, you know, like it has no reason to exist whatsoever. If you're a One Piece fan, do not buy this game. If you've never seen or read One Piece, go watch or read One Piece, and don't let this be your first experience. But if you're a One Piece fan, I can't recommend this game. There's no reason to play it. There isn't an original story with, you know, a fun little side story. There's nothing of value here, especially not for $40 retail. I cannot recommend this game whatsoever. Do not buy it. Pass it. Pass it. Pass it. So.
I think I'll pick it up.
And you asked me the first time we recorded, you know, what price I would, you know, if there was a price that I would buy it at, and I said, you know, I wouldn't even buy it for like $10. There's just no reason to play it at all. Yeah. And I mean, some people would say, you know, well, One Piece doesn't really lend itself to like an RPG, but one of my favorite DS RPGs ever is Dragon Ball Z Attack of the Saiyans, which is a turn-based like RPG with random encounters and all that crap. But it has really beautiful pixel art, has fun little goofy side stories, a fun battle system, neat enemy designs. Like, it's everything this game isn't. It has good music. And so if you want to play a good anime RPG on your DS, go pick up Dragon Ball Z Attack of the Saiyans, also by Namco Bandai. Do not pick up One Piece Romance Dawn. I can't recommend it. I'm sorry. So, disappointing. Disappointed.
That's sad.
It is sad.
Because I like Game.
Yep.
I like Game, and I like One Piece. Why no good?
Yeah. I mean, there's other good One Piece games. Aren't the GameCube ones kind of fun? I don't know.
I don't know.
I heard the
one I played wasn't.
I heard the Wii one was fun. It's like hard to find these days, though. It's like rare. Did I tell you that I found out? Did I tell you that I found out one of my games is worth like around $1,000 to $2,000?
No.
One of the Super Nintendo games I bought at a flea market is worth like $2,000.
What? How much did you buy it for?
Five.
What game is it?
Hagane.
Gosh.
Yeah, I always thought it was rare because it was only released at Blockbuster and each store only got a couple of copies. And I was always just like, I wonder why this... I never hear about this being rare. And then I was watching some shows on YouTube and this collector was talking about the rarest Super Nintendo games and he was like, this game, Hagane, and he holds it up and it's like a plastic case. He's like, I wish I could find a boxed copy, but I just have the cartridge and it cost me like $1,000. And I was like, what? And then I go to eBay and sure enough, so pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Pretty neat.
It's a great game too. Anyway, but oh yeah, I have another game to review real quick. I'm gonna get this one done fast. So
yeah.
All right, Addison, did you like the Tony Hawk games when you were a kid? Tony Hawk.
Heck yeah, I did.
Skateboard.
You could play as Darth Maul and Spider-Man.
Yes, you could. Yeah, I liked those games a lot, too, when I was a kid. But these days, there's not a lot of skateboarding games that I dig. I hear the skate games are fun, but those just never really interest me. But I played a skating game recently that was very fun and that I enjoyed quite a bit. And now I'm going to talk to you about it. It is called Ollie Ollie, and it is exclusively for the PlayStation Vita. You can't get it on your PC. You can't get it on your PS3. Nothing. It's just a Vita indie game. And Ollie Ollie is really creative and cool. I like it a lot. It is a skateboarding game, like I said earlier. It is side-scrolling. You play as little pixel skateboarder man. I don't mean like 8-bit pixel, like maybe 32-bit pixel guy. Pixel art skateboard man. You skate a thing. You start these different courses, and you pull off tricks, and you try and make it to the end of the course. There are like little challenges that come up on each little course, and you can try to complete those or not. They're optional. Like you'll have one challenge that says, you know, score 250,000 points total, or you know, make a 180,000 point combo, or you know, land a 60,000 point trick, or you know, collect all these spray paint cans across the stage, all these different things. And if you can land all of those in one stage, you'll unlock a pro version of that stage that you can then play later on, which is kind of cool because it sort of doubles the length of the game if you can do all of those. This game's really fun. I really, really enjoyed this game quite a bit. I was really surprised by it because I hadn't heard anything about it, but it's neat. The way you control is especially really interesting. The vast majority of the game is controlled exclusively with the analog stick. You push, which means speed up, using the X button. But other than that, you ollie or jump and do all of your tricks using the analog stick. You hold it down and then release it to jump in the air, and then you do quarter circles, full circles, all kinds of stuff to, you know, do different kinds of kick flips and junk. You can also press the R button to rotate and do like 360s or 180s. You also press the analog stick in different directions to land a grind and then grind down a rail. But it's really intuitive, easy to learn, extremely difficult to master, really fun. What was I going to say? Yeah, I really enjoy Ollie Ollie. It's a great game for your PlayStation Vita. It also has a daily challenge feature where you can play different courses, randomly generated courses each day, and compare your high scores. However, it doesn't have friend leaderboards, which is really frustrating, because that's the best part about daily challenges is comparing your scores with your bros. And you can't do that here, which is disappointing. But it's still a fun game, and I still think it's great. I still think it's fun. One thing I will say is that I've had the game completely crash on me several times. I've let the developers know about it. It's a known issue. They are releasing a patch for it, But as of now, I've had the game crash on me several times, and it was frustrating, but at the same time, the courses are just a couple of minutes long, so you don't really lose much when that happens. You can just jump right back into it. But, you know, just be aware that that is something that the current version has going on, and they're looking at fixing. But I still think Ollie Ollie is a great game that you should definitely consider it, especially if you enjoyed the Tony Hawk games when you were younger. I give Ollie Ollie, which is $13, by the way, for the PlayStation Vita, I give Ollie Ollie a buy it. So, there's that.
Hooray!
Okay, well, that's our reviews. That's all of them.
Yep, nothing else to review.
Nope, nothing else. That's it.
No more games.
See you guys next week.
We'll see you never.
Yep. Show's over. That's it. We're not doing any more episodes.
This would seem a lot more likely, I mean, unlikely and funny if Bravely Default had come out recently.
That's true.
But it's been out for a while. It's still really good, though. Oh my god, is it good.
Yeah, we really like it a lot. You haven't gotten to play it as much over the past month as I have.
I've played it enough to know that I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so good. So freaking good. Listen, if you're a crazy person, if you own a 3DS and you haven't bought Bravely Default yet, like, you need to go purchase it immediately. Especially if you like RPGs of any shape or form, you need to go buy Bravely Default.
Jordan, you know what happened to me the other night that hasn't happened in so long?
What happened to you?
I fell asleep with my 3DS in my bed.
Oh no.
Like, I mean, it was fine. I just, like, haven't fallen asleep playing a handheld game in so long. Like, I usually turn it off before I fall asleep, but, like, I mean, I did close the 3DS. I just, like,
was
in, like, the middle of the game, and I woke up and was like, oh, my 3DS is in my bed. And I just haven't been so into a game that's happened in a long time.
Mm. I thought it was going to be one of those things where you, like, your 3DS turned off and you lost a bunch of, like, progress.
No.
Which, that wouldn't be a problem in this game because it auto-saves in a Japanese...
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
In a Japanese RPG, it auto-saves. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, there's lots of auto-saving going on in that game.
Yep. Like, every single time you exit a floor or something like that, it auto-saves. Oh my gosh, so good. So, if you don't know, Bravely Default is a new RPG from Square Enix, published in the U.S. by Nintendo. It is kind of part of the Final Fantasy series. I know it doesn't share the same name, but the spells are all there. There's similarities. It's pretty much a sequel to Final Fantasy The Four Heroes of Light. Same little red save dude is in the game. A lot of similarities in story and themes and different things. It's a sequel to Final Fantasy The Four Heroes of Light, which is one of my favorite DS games. It's a Japanese RPG, so you know, save a world, fight goblins using turns and daggers.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a lot of, for lack of a better word, like cliche tropes in it, but it doesn't matter because it's just so good. And the story, actually, as it goes on, gets amazing.
It
really, like, kind of, like, a lot darker.
Super dark. And not like in a grim dark way, because so much of the game is bright and charming.
Way.
Yeah, it's like in a way that it really hits you, because the rest of the game is, like, so charming and fun and kind of cute.
And I would almost kind of compare it, this is a weird comparison, but, like how at the beginning of Up, everything's happy, and then it gets really, like, it hits the fan, and you're like, oh. There's, like, moments like that in the game.
Which is cool, because it's, like, in a way, it's, that's my favorite thing, when something can appeal to everyone, you know? Like, when I could give this game to a kid who's, you know, 10 years old, and they would have just as much fun with it as I did as an adult, and that's awesome. Like, I always enjoy when things have a broad appeal like that. I don't know. It's so good. So, but yeah, like you said, the story is, and like we say tropes and stuff, but I feel like I've always felt that Japanese RPGs, are a fine-tuned machine, and the best ones are the ones that are tuned the best, and like, you know, so they're usually composed of similar parts. Most video game genres are, but Japanese RPGs, the best ones kind of implement these revolutionary features or try new things or take what's worked in the past and make it even better. And man, does this game do that, like, over and over and over again.
Right, but, I mean, you still don't have to have a character that has amnesia.
Yeah, but he's like, I mean, he's not the main character, though, and it's done in a really interesting way.
Yeah, I guess, but he still has amnesia. He's still a character in a JRPG with amnesia.
That's true. But I think it's really cool how they did it, though, how he has this journal, and that's the only clue that he has to who he is, and the journal tells the future. Like, that's kind of awesome. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's really interesting. I don't know. I feel like... So, if you don't know, Bravely Default is written by the guy who made the anime Steins Gate. I've never seen Steins Gate, but I hear it has, like, crazy plot twists in it. And so I'm guessing there's going to be some crazy stuff in this later on. I'm not sure, but that's the word on the street. Also, the music's done by the guy who did the music for the Attack on Titan series. And holy crap.
And it's so good. The music is amazing.
I actually downloaded the soundtrack, and I was, like, everybody left my work today. I was the only person. I had to stay a little later. I was the only person in the building. And I have these big old speakers in my office, and I just jacked up the Bravely Default soundtrack, like, so loud. And it was so good. But
that reminds me. I'm trying to find the soundtrack for the new Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Can't find that.
But I did get Xenoblade, Bravely Default, and Shin Megami Tensei 4, which just came out. So
nice.
Yep.
One of my favorite things in this game are the amazing backgrounds.
Oh, I know. Like, that's... Oh, my gosh. They're so good.
They're so gorgeous.
And I love how much motion and detail is in them, too. Like, in 3D, like, that crap looks amazing.
Yeah, I actually... one of the last few times I played Bravely Default recently, I had played in 3D for a while, and I really enjoyed how, like... I don't see it in a lot of 3DS games, but... It felt like there were three layers to everything, where you have, like, the text up front, and then the characters, and then the background.
It's just done so well. Oh my gosh! And I love how, like, whenever you're in a town and you just stand still for a second, it just zooms out, like, super far, and you can just, like, see the whole town. And something about that's so cool. You can see, like, birds flying up in the sky, and you can see, like, water running through a creek, and, you know, boats floating in the dock, and all kinds of stuff. And you're just like, what on earth am I playing?
You can tell that the people who made this game, like, really cared about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's so much love in this game. Like, the music and combined with the animations and the art style and the backgrounds and everything. That's just like the presentation. That's not including all the awesome mechanics and details in the gameplay. Like, it's just, this game's so freaking good. It blows my mind, because it's seriously the game that I have wanted since I was a kid. Like, since I played Final Fantasy IX as a kid, it's just the game that I've wanted to play for so long. And I don't know, it's so good. It was on the tip of my tongue, like, for years and years and years. I was just like, there's this RPG that I want to play, and I don't know it yet, but it's called Bravely Default.
Yeah, there's not really. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
it's like impossible to come up with complaints.
I did come up with one thing that I would have liked to seen more of. I would have liked to seen more weapon types. That's my only thing that I've been able to find. And what is there, like, 7 or 8 weapon types? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I have no complaints.
let's talk about the like the gameplay, some of, like, the actual gameplay mechanics. So, like,
the Brave and Default system.
Yeah, tell us about the Brave and Default system.
Well, whenever you click Brave, you get extra turns.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to pay for them. So, like, after you use those extra turns, you're, if the enemy you're fighting isn't dead...
You have to pay for them with in-app purchases.
Yeah. actually, that is one of my complaints, is that the SP drinks that you earn by playing with the game in sleep mode, the fact that you can buy those with real money kind of just rubs me the wrong way. Like, there's absolutely no reason why you need to buy them, but just the fact that it's there kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
But anyways, so if the enemy you're fighting, after you use those extra turns, if they're still alive, then, you know, you have to sit there and let your actions build back up while they can attack you. Or you can hit default and you earn extra actions and go into a defensive stance.
Yeah.
So it really creates this whole new form of strategy.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of that, like, at the beginning, you're just braving the crap out of everything. Like, you're just like, brave times four, all your party members, and then just hitting, you know, just destroying every random encounter you run into. But later on, it really turns into a strategic element that you've got to work with. There are some classes that, there's like for instance, I have the, not the Dragoon class, the Valkyrie class, and basically all their best attacks use tons of BP, which are brave points. And so, like, if you want to do a jump, you're going to be out for, you know, more than one turn. But what you can do is the Red Mage class kind of specializes in building up brave points. Whenever they get hit with a status effect, they can get, like, two brave points, which is cool. Stuff like that. And so you can combine the Red Mage's abilities with your Valkyrie class, and all of a sudden you have a Valkyrie that's just constantly generating brave points and is able to do these crazy attacks. That's one of my favorite things. It's just the combining these different classes that you have in the game into unstoppable beasts. But
yeah, there, like you were saying, there's quite a few ways that you can figure out to break the game.
Yep.
But it's not necessarily required. Like,
yep.
It's just like you can make the game as hard or as easy as you want it to be.
Yeah, even down to, like, you can change the random encounter rate, or you can turn random encounters off, and you can change the difficulty, and you can speed up battles, and oh my gosh. You can even, there's actually a little town building, like, mini thing, where you gather villagers by street passing people, or by hanging out with your buddies online, by, like, update, you know, gathering your friends' data from online, and you can use the data that you gathered from your friends, or the villagers that you gathered from your friends, to rebuild this village. And as the village gets rebuilt, it'll generate, you'll unlock these weapons that you can buy at a special shop. And a lot of these weapons are, like, crazy broken, like, but they cost a lot of money. But if you want to make the game easier, you can just buy some of those weapons, which are really cool. It's like they were just like, you know what, screw it, like, have fun. Every other Japanese RPG for all time has always used save points or whatever. Just autosave. Like, you don't have to worry about starting back at the King's Castle whenever you lose a boss fight. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, needing to grind for 10 hours. You can just speed up the battles times 4 and turn up the random encounter rate times 100 and just blaze to the level 99. Like, who cares? Just have fun. And I love that.
Which I really appreciate, because I, like you mentioned earlier, I don't finish games all that often.
Yeah.
I just, a lot of times, feel like I don't have time to finish them, and especially with JRPGs where they ask you to put a lot of your time into the game, it's nice to have that option to make it, you know, where I don't have to get so frustrated with it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I adore this game. I think it's the type of game I never thought I'd see again. In today's industry, I never thought I would see a Bravely Default, and it's so cool that it's selling well, and that it's just an amazing game. I can't wait for the sequel. So, I mean, I'm not even done with this one yet, so I can't wait to finish this and then play the sequel. Welp, is that all we got to say about Bravely Default?
I mean, I feel like we could go on and on, but
really could.
I'm getting tired.
When was the last time you liked an RPG this much?
The last time I liked an RPG this much was probably the original Golden Sun for the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
And that game is fantastic. I love that game.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the last story in Xenoblade, this would have been my favorite. I mean, I still think it's probably, if not on par, if not like right on par, then better than those games. I mean, it's probably my favorite RPG in almost 15 years.
Yeah. So, like, I want to say I like this better than Golden Sun, but I mean, maybe with time I will. But
yeah. I mean,
Golden... So far, I still like this, or I like Golden Sun a little bit better.
I mean, Golden Sun, dude.
Yeah, Golden Sun's so good.
The summons in this game remind me of Golden Sun, actually, just the way they do the animations and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I love the summons in Golden Sun.
It's always super fun. I never finished that Golden Sun DS game, but I was a little disappointed with it.
Yeah, me too. I never finished it either. I should finish it, though. But yeah, it was a little disappointing.
I should go back.
It was too easy, and also it was way too easy. And then I wasn't interested in the battles, and then I didn't dig a lot of the newer characters, and the people just talk too much.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that
game was disappointing. This one is not. Go buy it.
Get it.
Buy Bravely Default.
Best.
Buy it.
If for some reason you're listening to this and you don't have a 3DS, go out, buy a 3DS, buy Bravely Default, register that and, I don't know, another game, and get Pokemon for free.
There you go. If you don't have... I mean, I don't know why you'd be listening to this if you don't have a 3DS, but, like, this is a system seller. This is a game worth owning a 3DS for. It's that good. All right. Well, let's just skip the news.
Okay. I did want to just kind of briefly mention, in case people don't know already somehow, our good friends at Image Inform, they have their fantastic game, SteamWorld Dig, coming out for Sony products. I think it's on all, like, PS3, PS4, and Vita.
Right? I think that came out this week. If not, it comes out in a couple weeks.
It comes out. I don't think it's out yet. It's here it is. Okay, this is what I was looking for. It is part of the Sony Spring Fever network sale. It will be out sometime between March 18th and the 24th for $7.99 as part of their 20% off, like, first launch.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Buy that. That's a good price too.
Yep. It's a great game, great price, get it. Oh, I guess it's not going to be on PS3. Looks like it's only on PS4 and PS Vita.
Ah, well, anyway. I think it's...
Also,
Fez is
coming out for PS3, PS4, and Vita.
I know, it's cross-buy, too.
Luftrausers.
Yep. Luftrausers. And,
Luftrauser.
And Risk of Rain's coming to PS Vita, too, which I'm super excited about. That won't be for a while,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it is.
But, all right, let's go to questions...
This is what I wanted to answer this one. While you're doing that, let's answer Agidine64's question, because I like it. If handhelds were beautiful women, which one would you choose?
We had to think more on this before, but if handhelds were beautiful women, I would probably go with the Neo Geo Pocket Color. Because, I don't know, she's unique and underrated and ahead of her, like she, is ahead of her time, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, wise beyond her years, and, I don't know, clicky nub, I don't know, whatever. I like the, you know, stands out from the crowd. And then also the Game Boy Micro, sleek. And short, I don't know. And also plays Astro Boy Omega Factor.
That's what your perfect woman does.
Yep.
I like my handheld gaming systems how I like my women. I like them big and black and bulky and take, like, six Duracell C batteries. So, the Game Gear.
I like my women big and black in Game Gears.
And they gotta go fast.
Yep. That's a great question. I love that question. Lunar Knight asks, first, are you disappointed in the lack of Dragon Quest? He's referring to the Nintendo Direct that happened 10 years ago. And second, do you like Nintendo's approach to free-to-play games? First of all, yes, I am very disappointed in the lack of Dragon Quest. I love Dragon Quest. It's my favorite video game series. I adore Dragon Quest games, and I am so sad that I cannot play the last 5 entries in my favorite video game series. I just want you guys to imagine that. Like, think about your favorite video game series. Maybe it's The Legend of Zelda. Maybe it's, I don't know, Call of Duty. Uncharted. God of War. I don't know. And
okay, let's be honest. No one who listens to this show, their favorite series is Call of Duty.
Shh, it might be. You never know. You never know.
There's no way.
Maybe it's Angry Birds. But whatever your favorite video game series is, I just want you to imagine that you are not allowed to play the last 5 entries. It is literally impossible for you to play them. Like, at all. The last 5. It's like, what are the last 5? Let's say your favorite series is Zelda. The last 5 Zelda games, you can't play them. At all.
If I couldn't play the last 5 Pokemon games, I would have learned Japanese by now.
Look, when would that have been? I mean, well, no, that probably would have actually just been Gen 4, I guess. Because if you count, like, each version or whatever. But if you're just counting, like, one gen, I mean, that's... You haven't played any since Gold and Silver.
Yeah.
So.
Jeez, that'd be terrible.
Yep. Anyway, so that sucks. Yes, I was very disappointed. I still think that Dragon Quest is coming, though. Reggie hinted... I mean, when Reggie was doing his, like, basically Ask Me Anything thing on Twitter... And he, like, acknowledged that he wants to see more Dragon Quest in the United States as well. Nintendo doesn't just, like, do that stuff. If you said that, I think Nintendo's either looking at bringing over some Dragon Quest games or they're already doing it. I would not be surprised. I personally would like to see Dragon Quest VII Remake and the Dragon Quest Monsters 2 Remake, which is selling really well, actually. So maybe that might be the one. Who knows? But and second, do you like Nintendo's free-to-play games approach? I don't really like free-to-play games at all, so no, I guess. Yeah. What about you, Addison? You were going to talk about a submarine.
I mean, free-to-play games can be done right.
I don't agree.
But
the best way to do a free-to-play game is to never do it. No, that's not
true.
Well,
I mean, like, I'm loving Dota 2.
Yeah. And I mean, Flapthulu has, like, ads, so whatever. Alki Yance, or Weird Al Yancevic, I think. Are there any fan-translated DS games that you'd recommend for English audiences to try? Yes, there are, in fact, and I actually recommended you some on Twitter, but I will say them for the rest of the peoples. Tales of Innocence for the DS is good. Soma Bringer is like a Diablo clone for the DS. It's translated into English. It is great. Saga 2, which is the Game Boy one, is the first 2D RPG I ever played, and one of my favorite RPGs ever, and there is a 3D remake for the DS, so the Saga 2 remake is awesome. What else is there? Tales of Innocence, Saga 2, Soma Bringer...
Jump Ultimate Stars.
Jump Ultimate Stars, for sure. Oh, I love Jump Ultimate Stars so much. No, that's it. Saga 2, Tales of Innocence, Jump Ultimate Stars, Soma Bringer. I mean, there's some other stuff, but I think those ones are the main ones I would recommend. Tyler Alou asked, with so many of Level 5's best works still Japan only, what one do you want to see brought to North America and Europe the most? Oh, yes.
And
forgot about this.
I wanted to see Yo-Kai Watch, and it sounds like we're getting it.
Yep, it looks like Yo-Kai Watch is most likely coming to the United States, which I'm so excited about, because that's the number one Level 5 game that I want to play. So, I would have said Inazuma 11, but we got it. and then Yo-Kai Watch, but looks like we got that too. So
we can get all these crazy games, even like Simran Gakuru Burst, and we can't get the new Dragon Quest.
Yeah, like what? It's just that it's just so stupid. I don't know. I know that Square Enix is a bigger company. They have to justify a profit, but like, why can't they just allow someone else to pick up that series then? You know, like, I guarantee you that XSEED would love to sell a Dragon Quest game, or Atlas, or you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Just, so it's whatever. Frustrating. It is very frustrating. What else we got? Dude, you know what I just realized that we forgot to talk about again? Mario Tennis for the Game Boy Color. Go buy Mario Tennis for the Game Boy Color. It's great. And we like tennis. And if you listen to our early episodes, you'll get that joke.
You know what? The best thing ever is tennis.
Tennis. Buy tennis.
Play
yay.
Mario Tennis. RPG tennis game.
Yep. Yay. Get tennis. You do a tennis battle, and then you win an experience, and then you do more tennis.
You do a tennis, you level, you video
you go, game. You go to high school, and there is tennis there, and everyone plays tennis at the high school, and then you play tennis against everybody.
Yep.
Yep.
And then there's, like, a rival ninja high school, and when you power up during tennis, your clothes rip.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Wait. What?
I think I'm mixing up games.
Okay, Wolfie Boy asked us, why iTunes No Plays Nice? I don't know. I've been asking myself that question for a while.
Because iTunes.
Yeah, so sorry if you're an iTunes listener, or if you're somebody who would like to be an iTunes listener. iTunes is ridiculous, and we are trying everything we can to get our podcast fixed on their website, but until then, please just use their app, if you have a smartphone, the podcasts app, or just, you know, you can subscribe to our RSS feed from within your iTunes application. So try that as well. Zilliak asked, is it true that handheld gaming can save us? Yes.
Oh, gosh. When did Zilliak ask that?
7 hours ago.
Oh, Zilliak, you silly boy.
Oh, Wolfie Boy also asked, also, best Jackie Chan movie?
Drunken Master.
What?
Drunken Master.
I'm going to go with Super Cop. The cop who can't
Super
be stopped.
Super Cop or Time Cop?
No, not Time Cop. All right, man, we're done. And it's like 2 a.m. Let's go to bed.
I haven't eaten dinner yet or played video games yet.
Hey, you can... follow us on Twitter. See you guys next week.
You sure can. Follow us on Twitter at Pocketoid, at Jackal27, at Addison_L. Go. Some, I don't know.
See you guys next week. Or next. See you guys next time.
See you when we record 3 more times in a row.
If.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.